Access number 28669, Mr. John Hayward, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Hayward?
I was born at a little village called Slapton.
Whereabouts?
That was near Towcester. Towcester, Northants, it is.
And could you tell us a bit, and what was your date of birth? Sorry.
15th of the 9th, 35.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Yeah, my family. My father came from Hastings. And what happened was, when he was in the First World War, and not before he should have been, like. And what happened was that he when the war finished, he hadn't got no work, but the colonel in there, he was horse artillery, and he was good with horses, and he said, if ever you wanted a job, I live at Slapton. And what happened was that he came up here and met my mother and got married. And they lived in Slapton till they died.
And he worked?
He worked on tarmacking, on the big roads, tarmacking. His living was working with the horses in a big stable in the village. And then he went on to tarmacking later on in the years, because horses were getting bored down, type of thing. And he stayed on that for the rest of his life.
So he was in steady employment?
She was always in employment, yeah.
Did your mother work?
Not then, because we got, there were four of us, four children. Got a brother and two sisters, and that kept her busy. But later on, she did do a little bit of cleaning work in the village, you know, to the big colonel's place there.
And you were, how old were you in the four of you?
How old? My brother was the oldest. And then there was my sister, then me, and then my youngest sister.
So second youngest.
Yeah, second
was
youngest.
Was it, do you think, a happy childhood in Slapton?
Very happy, very happy. I think in the country, though we was in the war when we were born, type of thing, bar my youngest sister, we survived well compared, because we could grow things, and I worked a lot at the farm, and I could have a few eggs and milk from the cows, and we done well.
Tell me about your education. We'll come to the war, I think, later, but
yeah.
What about your education?
Education.
Which school did you go to?
I went to a school called Abthorpe. Abthorpe, a little school, and that was in the next village. So we used to have to walk across the fields and go across the railway line and up to the school until we was, 11 or 12, something like that. And then we went to the big school at Silverstone, which is the racetrack. I don't know whether you know about it. And that's where we finished up there at school.
There till you were 14?
Just over 14, I was. Came 8 before I was 15.
Now, what was your education? How did you do?
Not too good. Not too good, because I was more interested at the farm than I was in education.
And, did you have any subjects you did like?
I always loved gardening. Gardening.
Did you do gardening at the school?
Yes, we did. We used to have to grow our own stuff for the, you know, for the canteen at school. A bit of everything type of thing we did. But I'm afraid them days you didn't think of what was going to happen to you in your lifespan. And farming was all I wanted.
So you weren't that bothered about getting qualifications?
No. I was driving tractors when I was 12, 13.
Now, wait, let's go back a little bit, because it's all going on at the same
time.
Now, you'd been born in 35, so you'd be about just coming up four when the war started.
Yeah, that was correct.
What impact as a four-year-old did the war make on you? Did you remember the war started and how you felt?
I didn't remember the start of it, but I remembered later, because my father was never really there. No. And he was a sniper out in France. He was. And
so who was he serving with?
He was serving with the Royal Art Engineers, I think he was, or something. But it was a terrific shot with a rifle.
So when did he leave? Straight away when the war started?
I think he went straight in again, yeah. Because he were in the First World War, and I think they needed them type of people with experience to get back in quick, didn't they? And I think this is what happened. but we never see him a lot in the water.
Did you
not
miss
too
him?
Late.
I mean, a young lad.
Well, you didn't. So it seemed funny not to have a father because he wasn't there a lot. Mum had to do everything, even to the gardening. We used to help her and with the chickens and that, because we kept chickens and bits and pieces. And it was hard in some ways, though we'd got, always seemed we got plenty of food.
I'll come back. Did you miss him? Or did you just get used to him not being there?
I think you got used to it, you know, that he never came back. And
did you write to him, or did he write to you?
Yeah, he used to write home. We had cards from him, and still got a few left in the family, you know, odd bits from him.
And would you write to him, or best you can?
Well, I was too young, in a sense. I don't. There wasn't really. We was Air Village. If you blinked, you'd gone through it, in a sense. You with me? And so there were hardly anything. We got no shops, just one pub in the village, and so we hadn't got really anything. You know, we were cut off half the time. But, no, it was a...
Now, what about the effect of war? First, right at the start of the war, were you aware of the evacuees coming in? Or were there evacuees coming in?
There were evacuees in the village, yeah.
Did any come to you? Or?
No, because we were a bigger family, you see. We got three children, only a two-bedroom house. No water, no electricity.
Did you mix with the evacuees much?
Not a lot, no. Some of them was older than me. We had sort of thing older children in there rather than my age. So they didn't want to mess about with us little ones. Like. There was hardly any children really in the village. It's an older village. So.
Now, what about the effects of war on food rationing? Now, I think this is where we can talk a bit about, you know, that you grew things. How much effect did food rationing have on you as a family?
How much? I should say that the worst thing, we're getting sugar and different things like that to us. We've always got plenty of vegetables. We've got plenty of, you know, we've got eggs. We've got chickens if we, you know, for a Christmas, and we used to breed them and carry on with them. And I think we survived well with food. I think the country was way better, and we could have all the rabbits we could catch with the dogs, and that was it.
And what about clothing?
Clothing, a lot of hand-me-downs it was. You know, we hadn't got a lot of clothing. As I say, we couldn't get much to shops unless we travelled. The nearest place was about 4.5-5 miles if we wanted to get to Toaster, which was our nearest place. But we weren't too bad. There were no such thing as being dressed up, was there, in them days?
So you just get your brother's clothes?
Like that, or somebody in the village would have something different to us, and you swapped around.
Now, I presume, did you have any air raid precautions at all? Or is this, I mean...
Not in the village. No, not in the village. It wasn't until they were going to... where was it, in France, when they'd done the big invasion. We had a lot of tanks and things. They hid them all up in the valleys around us and tucked them in, and we got even better food then because they used to give us things, a bit of chocolate and things.
Were they British or American?
They were British.
And
British.
I mean, you must have been just the age where you were fascinated
by golly me, yeah. It was great, you know, and they used to do different food on their cookers and things, and we used to get bits and pieces from them. And we had quite a big invasion, in a sense. It nearly 4 times bigger the village once they all, because we got some places where they could tuck the tanks and different lorries and that out of the way. We enjoyed it really when they were there.
And were the troops always friendly and nice to, you know?
Yeah.
Tolerant of you?
Yeah, they was, yeah. Yeah. Well, they understood that they was in the same boat as we were, in a sense, wasn't it?
Now tell me about working on the farm. When did you start working on farms?
I virtually lived nearly up at the farm.
Whose farm was it?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Now, is that who your dad had worked for? Or?
No.
So this is just another... Now, were you working as a sort of part-time work on the farm, or was it just for nothing?
Well, just, yeah, you just went up there and, you know, well, I could... even from young, I used to take me out on the horses riding. We'd go round sheep up and things and that, because everybody were needed on the farm.
Now, what kind of work were you doing on the farm? You take us through the jobs.
The chickens. I used to go and feed all the chickens, the pigs, and anything like that. And sometimes the machines wouldn't go on the milking machine, so we had to go and milk by hand. And there was lots of things. You know, there was their gardens to help them with, and the farm. You know, we could steer a tractor, somebody with you, but as long as you steered it, it could sit on the back of whatever machine you was running.
So you just thoroughly enjoyed it?
I really did enjoy it them days. My young days were, I was farming mad.
Now, were there any celebrations in your area at V-Day?
Yeah.
What do you remember of that? Was there a party or what?
One such a party. It was a party in the sense that we all collected from the fields round with the tractors and brought and had a terrific big bonfire, and some of them got some few fireworks, and there was all cakes. Somebody made some cakes and things, and the big houses in the village, and it was a great day. You know, we hadn't really had anything to enjoy till that come on.
And you'd be about 10 then, or yeah. 9.
Yeah, 9, 10, yeah.
And after the war, you just carried on at school?
Yeah, carried on at school.
Until you were 15, or just?
Yeah, just before 15, yeah, near 15, yeah.
So that'd be 1949.
Yeah.
Now, what were you going to do when you left school? You had one thing in mind, is that what you
Farming,
did?
Farming, and that's what I did.
So where did you go to work?
I went to work... to another village called Braddon.
Braddon?
Braddon. Braddon. I think it's double D, Braddon.
And that's not far away from Slapton?
No, no.
And which farm were you on?
Now you got me.
Okay.
You
were working as a...
A labourer. You know, a farm labourer.
And tell me about... So what was your work like? What was a typical day's work as a proper farm labourer like?
What was a proper? Well, you started off milking in the first early in the morning. You know, sometimes 5 o'clock, half past five in the morning, you were milking cows, and then you went on maybe whatever the season were. You was tractoring or something. If it wasn't feeding the cattle, you were ploughing the fields, then harvest when that come round, and. It was hard work, because there's so many operations to do, not like now where you've got a combine which does it all in one go type of thing. You've got about 5 operations before you even got it into the stacks. Then you've got to take it out of the stacks when the thrashing machines come along and get that all through, which was hard work, very hard work. But it's like I say, everything was done in seasons, what you was... season you were in.
What sort of a farm was it? What was the main thing it was concentrated
it
on?
Was
or was it mixed?
It was mixed farming, yeah.
So it's arable.
Arable and yeah, sheep. Grazing sheep,
cattle.
Sheep, cattle, yeah, everything, yeah. We had about 40 cows to milk, and well, that's nothing, is it? 40 cows, and then you've got all the calves to look after and feed them up and things and. Chickens, pigs, but you did everything around that time because it was needed.
What was the pay like?
Not a lot, I don't think. I couldn't tell you what I used to earn, but it wasn't a lot, I can assure you.
Were you happy with it?
Yeah. Yeah, because there weren't these modern things where nowadays you'd need it.
Now, did you live on the farm at Haddon, Braddon?
No. I still lived in my village and used to have my bike, used to bike there on my push bike and back.
Now, how long did this carry on for you, from 49 to...?
It carried on the farm till I was going to join the army.
And what year was that?
That was, 10th of the 12th, 53.
That's when you were called up,
When I was called up.
Now, so that's what, when you're 18,
yep.
18 and 3 months or
whatever. Yep.
Now, what was the procedure for the call-up? You know, because you go through a procedure.
Yeah.
They don't just send you the letter.
No, they sent you a letter to report to Northampton Barracks.
Now, before that, I mean. because don't you have a medical and have to take things like that?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, you're bringing me back now. What it was, you had to go for an interview to up the barracks to see what regiment you could go in. I wished to go into the artillery, but they said, no, that were full up. I forget something else, I said, and so I said, well, you'll have to tell me because I don't know which other regiment to go in or what. So they said, well, I think you'll be infantry. I think they needed infantry. So that's what I was laid down to.
And what about the medical? Was that severe or what happened?
No, wasn't that severe. They didn't really check you over a lot till we was in the barracks.
So you were called up December 53.
Yeah.
Now, where were you sent?
I was sent to Northampton Barracks in Northampton.
And that's Walton?
That was used to be Wootton.
Wootton Barracks.
Wootton, yeah. Barracks, yeah.
And that's the depot, isn't it?
That was the depot, yeah.
Now, what was your, you know, you arrived, you're a civilian, you hadn't been in anything Boy Scouts or
nothing.
Army cadets or anything.
No.
So you're a complete civilian. What was your reception when you first got there?
Frightening. It was as soon as you got in there, because I should never forget when we got there, there were two or three of us went up from, we bussed into Northampton, I had to, and some other lads were getting on the bus and they were going to the same camp as me, but I forget what it was. We were supposed to be there at a certain time and we left it till that certain time. Little did we know we should have been there before. So we didn't stand much of a chance. We had a good old talking or two about it for being late, which didn't go down very well, and very frightening. Very frightening,
were
really.
Shouting and bellowing and all that stuff.
Oh, shouting, wasn't the word for it. I'll never forget, I was due to go on the Monday to the camp. And I went Saturday, I had a haircut. When I got into the barracks, he said, first thing you do is go and get a haircut. Go and get your haircut, it's too long. And I'll never forget, I came out of that, I cut my hair. And I had to pay. Came out of there and walking back, and he said, "Where you been, sir? Where you been?" I said, "To have my haircut." He said, "I can stand on that." So I had to go back and have another one and pay again. Never forget. And I'd had three in 3-4 days.
Now, how short did they have it? I mean, how short did you have your hair before, generally?
I'd say I was reasonable. Not sure. Really long-haired.
Short back and sides? Or?
No, just a normal, like I am now type of thing. But not overrun, but when they got going with it, shears, well.
So how short was it after they'd finished?
Very short. Very, yeah. Oh no, right down, nearly. Took it right up. Only a bit on the top. That's all they left. So it wasn't much.
Did you mind?
Didn't have no choice, I'm afraid. But it was a strange thing, you know.
Now, what about kitting out? What kit did you...
Well, before we were kitted out, we had to go into the big room they got up there and stand, take all your clothes off, and then they give us air inspection.
Now, tell me about that. How strict a medical was that? What were they looking?
Quite strict. They looked everywhere, down your throat, everywhere, and...
Was it a panel of doctors or just one doctor?
About three doctors were coming along. One were checking one thing, one another, I think that's what it was. And it was frightening to stand there with nothing on, with everybody type of thing, because we weren't used to things other than when we were going swimming, you know, as a youngster in the river. But it was frightening. And from there on, we went and got just the clothes on again. Then we went and got all kitted out.
Now, what kit did they give you? What kit and uniform did they give you?
They give you the ordinary khaki uniform and KDs. And because it was winter, we had a big overcoat and your hats and your boots and everything like you had. But they used to say, what size are your feet? You'd say 8s or whatever. and they'd throw you a pair of boots and things, whether they fitted. You used to think, hey, do they know it fits? But you got all this clothes and stuff. And by that time, it was getting quite late, really. And they said, right, you know, you can. They went and got us, we had a meal. And then they said, you better get all yourself cleaned up, ready for inspection in the morning. And all your coat buttons and everything had got to be done. I'd never sewed in my life, never sewed anything. And when I got my overcoat, my buttons were all in my pockets. So I had to sew all these buttons on and with the regimental thing up. And, well, I don't know how I got over it. And lights out at certain times. So they told us beforehand to buy some candles. And we thought, joking, what do we want these for? And so when the lights out, we had to light the candles and carry on sewing buttons by the candlelight.
Now, what was your barrack? Was it a barrack room or a hut? Or what?
Barrack room.
Now, what was your barrack room like? Can you describe it? Because people don't know what they're like now.
Well, what they were, the block, big block we was in, was it was like a letter, what you say, H, with two big wings on the end, and a corridor where they were either side, but they were smaller rooms. But our room was the big one of the big end ones, which had about 25, 30 blokes in. And
how were the beds arranged? And
they was arranged either side, so you got a passageway up the middle. And they weren't too bad. They were hard old beds type of thing. You know, they weren't what you call comfortable. You didn't have to get comfortable.
Anything to put your kit in?
Yeah, you got your wardrobe and your little locker type thing, and little side bit where you put bits and pieces in. And that was about it. There wasn't much else. Very highly polished floors, mind you. Very, very highly. The floors were glass. And, terrible.
Now, we'll look at a typical day's training to pick up a lot of the things that you do.
Yeah.
Now, what time would your morning start once training had begun? What time would they get you out?
Well, you'd be 8 and had your breakfast by 6 o'clock. Like, you may be on back on the square lot. Like,
so very early. 6 o'clock,
very early, yeah.
And
you could hardly see. Like.
Now, what about the food? You know, breakfast. But what did you think, country lad that you were, and you were country lad?
Yeah.
What did you think of the food that they gave to you?
Not much at all. Not
now
much
why
at all.
What was wrong with it?
Well, it was all stodgy old stuff, it seemed. But when we were used to having nice potatoes and things, it was like that pom stuff where they could never get it off the end of the spoon. Nearly smash your dinner bags, you know, with
your mashed potato.
Yeah, like a mash old stuff it was. You never got a big variety of anything, really.
So what would you get for breakfast, say?
Well, it was like a porridge type stuff. Nothing of any consequences, really.
No bacon and egg, or?
I can't remember that, no.
What about your main meal of the day?
Main meal was maybe a bit more, you know, bit more heavier stuff, but it was all stuff I think to give you the protein for the need of your training.
Was there enough of it?
Yeah, I think you were there was enough of it. I think half the time we were too tired to worry whether you're hungry.
Now, after you know, when you get started in the morning training sessions, what things would you cover? I mean, one that comes to mind is drill.
Yeah,
foot drill. Did you do a lot of foot drill?
Oh. Yeah, the regiment I was with was fanatical for drill.
Now tell me, how did you take to drill and what did you think of it?
Well, to start with, you were confused. You know, the shouting was so loud at you all the time. And sometimes you forget what your left or your right type of thing. Because you were, you know, they'd have you running up and down, right, left and turn round and things like that. And it was a bit confusing to people who had never been into these things ever. But you, gradually, after a few weeks, you got used to these rules they made you do.
Did you see the point of it at the time? Did you understand what you were doing at the time?
Not really, no. I don't think you did. I don't think anybody did. You were so naive into battle, unless you've been into these other groups, you know, when you started youngsters and that. But somebody coming in from it, from being, you know, ape working on the land to this, so much regimentation, it was heavy, wasn't it, for us? Very heavy.
And what other training would you do? I mean, what about weapons training?
Yeah, then once you'd done, they got you under control, then we started, you know, well, you had your rifle and you did your training with your rifle as well.
Now, how did they go about, we're quite interested in rifle training, how did they actually go about converting you from a farm boy who presumably used a shotgun, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we used a lot of shotguns and stuff, yeah.
So you weren't...
That didn't bother me, that didn't, because we're used to all guns.
Now, how did they go about training you with a rifle? What was the process they put you through?
What was the process? Well, start, they made you learn what the rifle was about, A, to pull it apart, type of thing, if it, because some of them was, would jam up. The 303 was quite a good rifle. You could do nearly anything with that, and there wasn't a lot other than putting your magazine, filling the magazine bit up and loading it, and safety catches and things like that. That was quite easy to me. I realised on all that quite easy. But it was when you went on to learning you on machine guns.
I'll come, sticking with the right. So, the what they take you out on the ranges, would, or would you do .22 first?
Yeah, we did fire in the barracks. We fired 22s first of all. That's what they trained you to shoot with at start with, see how good you were, I think.
That's getting the, how you aimed.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you'd presumably know that.
Yeah, yeah. I know all about that bit, yeah.
What was the next stage?
The next stage, they like I say, they took you down onto a big range further on that with the guns. And
were you a good shot? I mean...
I was an average. I could handle it type of thing. I wasn't a marksman like my father, but... I could get the target easy enough.
Now, what about the other weapons?
LMGs, light machine guns.
Would that be the Bren?
That would be the Bren gun, yeah.
And what training did you get on the Bren?
Well, there was a lot more because it was an automatic. It was automatic, or you could use it as a single. This is why it confused the Germans in the war, because you could just fix it that you fired a one shot. And then if you needed, you pulled the lever and it would let a lot go. But they trained you on this machine gun to take it all to parts, and they blindfolded you after a while. And you had to put it together as though you were working in the dark.
You
know how to take it apart and put it in. Which was, it came easy in the finish, but where to lay the bits, some to your left, some to your right, and then you could put it together. Then we had the Sten gun.
What was it like to fire the Bren?
It was maybe frightening, the first burst you let go, but it was a lovely machine.
In what
very
way?
Accurate, very accurate machine. Beautiful machine, really.
Many stoppages?
No stoppages. Very rare anything went wrong with it. Other than if you fired it too long, you always carried, or one, if you carried the machine gun, another bloke had got a spare barrel, because they used to get very hot if you were firing rapid all the time. So you changed barrels. And that was the only thing really what ever needed with the gun. It just got too hot. But it was the best.